I had a question for Hal and Dennis, as if they had any observations about the applicability of all this to open source software and to engaging companies who might undertake to support open source software, and if there are any, I think a lot of what you said would apply, but if you had any specific observations about how it might be applied to open source software solutions.
I can maybe address that.
I think from a vendor's perspective, there's no incentive to write open source, because they're in the business of creating proprietary software solutions. That's where they make their money. They're not in the business of putting millions of dollars into a product and giving it away. In terms of having access to products that have been developed by other users, okay, which are freely available, I think what is necessary is an organization that can categorize and then have one place to be able to understand where that software is available. The fact is, I ran into a vendor that actually is giving away their LIS system, you know, pathology solution. Nobody knew about it. It wasn't available. So there has to be some common repository, I think, to make that happen.
And you're referring, I think, primarily to operating systems and perhaps databases?
No, in application software. Because we're beginning, I disclose where I work. I work at NCI, and we're funding the development of open source software. And so we're now in a point where we're transitioning that to make sure that it can address all of the concerns. I mean, putting ourselves in the shoes of that you've just described, is how would you look at open source software in comparison to a vendor-supplied solution? And most, IS departments are going to look at it with a great deal of concern, and they're going to want to hit all the buttons that you've addressed. But it's more in relation to the latter solution, which is support of third-party developed solutions and taking those to a commercial, to a level that's going to satisfy the kind of criteria that you're talking about. And to support the software we've funded, we're looking at how we set up those mechanisms to make sure that those solutions that we funded continue to be viable tools in the future, because without that support, they're not going to be viable tools.
Yeah, I think that may be one of the issues with open source. And when you look at the history of Unix, that goes back, and you had so many derivative things, it wasn't always clear that what you got would be compatible with someone else's code, Unix, that was a little bit different. And so I think it's a question of how you manage that open source and how you manage its upgrades and how you manage its evolution that I think would be important.
Maybe just a quick comment. I spent 5 years of my life running an enterprise open source company, and I would have to maybe disagree with my colleagues up here. I think open source is phenomenal, and that if you can pool resources in the development of software, you can get out of the features and functionality game, and you get paid for the value you create. It used to be that you created value by keeping your software and code proprietary, but in the new world, you get paid value for the intrinsic value you create in the service that you support. Features and functionality start to go away. I mean, software will ultimately go away, and then actually everything is available through the network, and there's a lot of theory about how that will work. To answer your question specifically, I think that, and what was mentioned here, which is correct, is that open source is a little bit Wild West. However, as the projects become more mature and so forth, and people can collaborate around a common standardized code base, I think there's some opportunity to really get these systems pervasively implemented in a way that's very effective. There's certainly business models to support open source, and so I'd love to talk to you afterwards about that. But so just a counterpoint.
Yes, a question for Hal and Dennis. You both briefly touched upon escrow agreements, and there are perhaps currently several competing wisdoms about their value or lack of value and sustainability of ability to run a system in the setting of catastrophic failure of a corporation to continue existing. One notion being that escrow agreements can be layered in a two-stage approach, where there's the option to bring code into escrow for certain triggering conditions, and then on higher level triggering conditions, to pull the code out of escrow and actually use them. One of the questions is the illusory value, or is it real value, of actually having the code? Because there's a lot of burden operationally and technically to do something productive with the code to sustain oneself, because there's added value and knowledge required. Conversely, not having any access to the code is a showstopper for being able to continue supporting an application in the absence of vendor support. So perhaps both of you, or really everyone, can comment on whether escrow agreements are mostly illusory or if they have value, and do you elect for a two-stage approach or a one-stage approach if you have higher concern about perhaps a corporate company that may, a private corporation as opposed to a publicly traded corporation, that may not have as high an expectation of long-term existence?
From my perspective, escrow agreements are an insurance policy, but they're no guarantee of anything. The one thing that I do recommend strongly is use a third-party escrow company where it is not under the control of the vendor, whether that product gets released or not. But if the vendor files for bankruptcy and is not supporting the system, then you can go directly to that third party and have access to the source. Would you like to make a comment? Dennis?
Yeah, I agree with Hal. I think it's an insurance policy. I think, as I understand it, there are even situations in which in legal cases, a judge can block the release of source code from escrow. I think it's an insurance policy. I think one thing that's important to do is to be sure that that code that's escrowed is updated periodically to be sure that what's in escrow is actually represents what's operationally in the field. I don't know, and maybe Hal does, or maybe someone else in the audience knows of, has there been a situation in recent years where that escrow provision has in fact been invoked and worked? I don't know of any. I know that most contracts include them.
I've not heard of a single instance, so hence my comment about perhaps they're mostly illusory, as you said, as an insurance policy, more than a real expectation that they could help you out in a catastrophic instance.
Well, Dennis, I actually have one client whose vendor sunsetted the product and said they would no longer be providing any support, updates, or even answering the phone without time and materials being invoked. In that case, they are maintaining their own system at this point in time with the source code that they acquired.
It's another case to me. I mean, if you're not full-blown open source, you don't want to involve the public, you could. Why not involve your customers in the development? I mean, I would think that as a vendor, you'd want your customers helping to have access to your code so that you can improve the code. There are certainly intellectual property provisions that could be safely put in place that will allow your customer to be a contributor to a project and to your software. And, you know, my experience has been that that greatly facilitates and can be a differentiator and a selling point. If you're not ready to go full-blown and invite the public to that party, you can at least invite your customer to that development party and increase the functionality and your development team. And you'll be surprised at what they're able to do with the software. So in that instance, you can actually get rid of the escrow agreement by actually giving them access to the code. So.
Other question? I just want to make some comments about the open source effort. I think is to make an open source project successful, we need three things. The first is a well-defined problem to solve. The second is like a technology platform that we everyone agreed upon. The third one is the talents, the people who are going to develop the code. And I think we have a well-defined problem to solve, either AP or CP. But I'm not sure in technology side, we have decided that the language database, that is very technical things. We might need the effort from, you know, academics or from industry to define that issue. Then we have to recruit people to get interested in this problem, to put their effort to develop this code. It's just my comments. Thank you.